You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Are you just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculpture.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
This morning on Who Arted, we have one of this country's top glass artists, Layla Walter. Layla's distinctive and individual works in cast glass have gained her worldwide recognition, with works residing in the collections of Sir Elton John, Sir Peter Jackson, Peter Gordon, cultural embassies in Egypt, Iran, France, the USA, and of course closer to home in the Museum of New Zealand, Te Papa Tongarewa and Auckland Museum. Layla's work has received much critical acclaim and has been noted in National Business Review as worthy of investment. In a rare achievement, her glass has been selected on six separate occasions for the Corning Museum of Glass, New Glass Review, 97, 99, 2005, 2009, 2012, 2014. These accolades are huge. She's considered to be at the leading edge of glass practice today. Good morning, Amy Ralphini and Layla Walter.
Good morning, Esther.
How are you doing, Amy?
Good, thank you, my darling. How are you? Oh, hey.
Very well. How are you, Layla?
I'm good, a little nervous.
Welcome to the studio.
No need to be nervous. Yes, it's very exciting to have Layla on the show today. Just a bit about Layla, a bit more about her. She works with the tradition of cast glass, working with techniques which are highly skilled and complex, employing internal and external carving. She often uses very personal representations of weaving and native flora and fauna carved into base relief. Layla's vessels encapsulate nature with their non-linear. I'm so excited, I actually can't talk properly. Non-linear structures and gently undulating base reliefs in local flora, fauna, native bird life and craft set upon the tone of softly polished glass in a range of colours from dewy lavender, flaxseed black to tangy dense vermilion. Layla, hi.
Hi.
There is so much we can talk about regarding your work, and we have a limited amount of time. The process in which you actually make these and cast glass is amazing in itself. I would like this morning to cover the progression of your work so far stylistically, but before we launch into that, can you please tell us a little bit about this process that is cast glass?
So the technique was developed here at Elam, at Auckland University, by Anne Robinson, who's a world leader in the field of cast glass. The technique is lost wax casting. It's a modification of the ancient Italian bronze casting process. So for bronze casting, you have a wax and then you surround it by a mould, which is sort of plaster and other materials. And once you cast the metal, you can bang it off with a hammer. But for glass, you can't bang the mould off once you've cast the glass. So Anne Robinson, along with Dave Reed, who's a bronze master, developed this mould material which could be strong enough to withstand the heat of the kiln so that the glass can run in, but also soft enough at the end that it can be just gently broken away, revealing the glass that you have sculpted in wax. So I sculpt in wax and then cast it into glass.
Oh, awesome.
We have in the studios a couple of some little brown ones, and then a huge big wax bowl, ginormous, gorgeous, with a hydrangea carving that's in progress on the outside. Stunning, beautiful.
Absolutely.
And these little works of art, they get melted away at the point of once they've got the mould, then the wax just gets melted away like a beautiful dream.
That's right, it's lost wax casting. So everything that I make needs a wax, and that wax gets melted out of the mould, leaving a cavity that was the shape of the wax, that the glass can run into that negative cavity.
Yes.
And fills the space and becomes what I initially sculpted in wax. So that's how it works. So I have master moulds that I can, when I do a carving of a wax, which might take up to a month to carve, I make a silicon rubber master mould of that so that I can produce multiple waxes. And you can see the transition of the progression of that casting process through the Cosmos series, where I've got a formal camellia vase form. All of my works is vessel forms. So with that casting process, you're able to replicate and replicate and alter the design. And it's a wonderful way to sort of allow over the years your artistic interests can change along with those designs. Like the Camellia vase, it was very formal initially. Once I went to the Royal to the British Museum and saw this amazing exhibition that's called Garden and Cosmos, the Royal Paintings of Jodhpur, it really influenced my work, and I began to morph that traditional vase form and get more of an undulating surface. And yeah, so it's
That does bring us to our next question, which is about the stylistic progression of your work. Initially, you began with woven flax and organic forms translated into glass, and then your vessels became more formal. And now you have returned again to a more undulating organic style, with the rims slightly uneven and more marking in the background behind the actual flower or the item. So I adore them, they're beautiful. We've posted something on the Morning Glory page this morning if you want to get a reference. Can you tell us a little bit about the design progression and some key points that has affected this?
Yeah, sure. So I learnt to weave as a child in Hawke's Bay. My father worked at the Otatara Trust. It was a work access scheme for youth, and there was a whole range of mediums that were worked in with those youth, and in my school holidays I would just be plonked in the weaving house. So I learnt to weave, and when I ended up at art school in Auckland, I started with my woven process, and because I was majoring in glass, I translated the woven texture into vessels cast in glass. So they're not traditional Māori work at all.
Yeah,
and I'm not Māori, but I know how to weave, and I translated that into my own forms and worked really closely with Joy Wikitera, who was my weaving teacher at Unitech, and Kahuta Kanawa sort of guided my work. So those works were quite, had an organic feel to them with the weaving on the rims of vessels.
We've got one here.
Yes,
this one is
here, which takes forever to clean up because the rim is
ragged.
It's ragged, yeah. So I actually recarved the wax to follow the form of the woven top. So this is called woven rimmed bowl.
It looks amazing in wax.
but my design interest became a lot more formal, and I was influenced by the crenet bowl, which is a Danish design, and I had been given a crenet bowl by my grandparents. And that bowl's designed in 1953. It's an absolute classic.
What is crenet?
That's the name of this bowl. So
is that
Herbert Crenshaw designed this bowl, and it's called the crenet bowl. And it's made out of steel and enamel, coloured enamel. Mm. It's like lemon yellow on the inside and black on the outside.
Nice.
So I took a mould of that form to get the outside of the form and created a wax and put woven detail on the inside. So
and do you
it's a
have
completely
to kind of
new form.
Do you have to kind of press the weaving into the wax to get that imprint?
Yeah, I did. I created a recess around the internal rim of the bowl, of the wax replica of the crenet bowl. And then, so you can probably see on the website, I think the first image, there's a woven bowl and there's a small black robin vessel and then another woven vessel. They're yellow and black image on the website.
Lovely.
So that is a very formal piece, and you can see that the hydrangea is actually an upscale of that crenet form.
I got a
Shaolin mould maker to produce a mould for me that I could make a large scale wax. It's almost half a metre across, and this piece has a big hydrangea which was drawn from my friend Emily Saddell's garden. So all of my works reference particular people or places of importance to me. It's kind of my story, I guess.
Yeah.
So there has been a lot of transition in the forms that I've made, but it's 21 years of practice. So this hydrangea bowl, which is the wax that I've got here, has very deep set bas relief carving in the wax, beautiful leaves on the outside, and then on the inside there's a big hydrangea bloom which actually comes out into the cavity of the vessel. So it's where the glass is thicker, the colour becomes more dense.
Mm.
So I'll cast this in a soft green pale, pale green. And where the flower is, it will be a beautiful deep green.
Wow,
it's like those old-fashioned ones. Tipapa has a blue version of this piece.
I think I might have popped a blue one up online as well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we have to cut short because we've got to... Actually, how are we going with time?
Yep, we're about done.
Yeah.
But that was fascinating.
I think I might actually talk further with you about it and do a pre-record at some point. But that's your work is absolutely stunning. If anyone is interested in checking it out further, you can find Layla on at the Masterworks Gallery, and also what's the other
guy? Layla _Walter_Glass on Instagram as well.
Yep, follow her through there and she'll have all the hookups.
Museum of New Zealand, Te Papa, of course. And Toyo Tamaki, Auckland Art Gallery, has in the past anyway.
Yeah, you might have to.
Was there anything else you wanted to mention,
Layla? Just one thing. I've just designed a piece for Coromandel Watchdog of Hauraki because I'm from the Coromandel Peninsula.
Nice.
And we're building a platform to raise funds for Coromandel Watchdog of Hauraki, and that's a really exciting project. So please, people, go to Coromandel Watchdog of Hauraki website, or you can just punch in Coromandel No Mining, and we will be producing a platform for items just for sale, and I have a piece, Coromandel Kōwhai Gold, which people can commission through that site, but otherwise go to the other galleries. And also head up to Object Space at the moment. If you're interested in applied arts, there's a fantastic show called Show, Sell, Shift. And that's in Ponsonby Road.
So. Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Layla. Thanks, Amy.
No worries.
Thanks.
Ooh, I like this.
Trey chic.
Trey cool.
Touché.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.